Good morning. Oh, you got a call right now. Stop what you're doing. Hurry. This offer is available for only a short period of time. You're going to lose out. This offer will never be available again in our lifetime. I know you've heard this on your radio or TV many, many times. But did it ever entice you to grab your cell phone and make that call? Not wasting a minute? Not me. I just think, really? But you gotta love it. They'll try anything to get you to buy their wonderful product. And the ruse must work. Otherwise, they'd quit offering it, right? Or at least that's what I think. It must work. Or you have to buy right now to get it at this low price. It's gonna cost more very soon. So hurry. This low price won't last long. As opposed to the lady that does my taxes, when she gave me her bill, she said, "Remember, I told you last year that I would be increasing my fee this year?" Maybe she saw the blank look on my face. I don't know. But me, remember? Not a chance. I was just thankful to have that job done for another year. Not something I ever look forward to. Well, maybe I look forward to it being over, but not doing it. But you know, when they tell you that, when they tell you that you have to act right now or you'll lose out, that's when you need to step back and think about it. If it's something that you really have to act on right now, chances are it's a scam. And if they say you have to pay a deposit, just give us your credit card number. Right now, hefty or not, chances are it's a scam. So beware. Save your money and save yourself a lot of trouble, right? And then there's this. The phone rings. Darn. I'm tied up doing something very important. But it's the phone. So I rush to answer it, and a robotic voice says, "Good evening, Mrs. Kittner. We're taking a survey." No! So you hang it up. So irritated. And I have to confess, most of the time, I'm not very polite. But I do just hang up the phone. I don't jam it down. I'm afraid it'll rip off the wall. And what good would that give me? Otherwise, I probably would jam the darn thing down. But truthfully, thankfully, I don't ever recall Jesus or God or the disciples ever saying, "You have to take advantage of this right now. It won't be offered again." The invitation is always open, isn't it? No cost to accept. On this fourth Sunday in Lent, let's read these small pieces of Scripture from Deuteronomy 31:5. Be strong and courageous. Don't fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. From Matthew 28:20, and behold, I am with you always to the ends of the earth. And from Romans 8, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, not anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. 1 John 4:15. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And lastly, from John 3:16, so familiar. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I was reading an article the other day about keeping secrets. It's hard to do, isn't it, when you know something? I asked someone a question quite a few years ago, and I still remember it, and he responded, "Can you keep a secret?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "So can I." Beautiful, wasn't it? And since then, I've thought about that several times. Another piece of advice: keep it to yourself as long as you can. Depending on what your secret is, sharing it loses a bit of its magic. Keeping it to yourself, knowing every day that you have a secret that no one else knows, it's a kind of magic. Most of the time, all news is spread around as loosely as the wind blows the leaves. You're probably thinking, well, what does that have to do with anything? Or particularly on this fourth Sunday in Lent. Well, we know that during Lent, many of us think of it as a time set aside for special spiritual reflection and discipline, a time to practice self-examination for repentance and a deepened connection with our faith. Some give up something during Lent as a special discipline. Others may add a practice, such as making it a point to add an item to a basket for the food pantry, or making it a point to connect with someone every day, whether it's a long-lost friend or someone who's been ill. Well, what would it be like to have a secret with God just for the next few weeks? Maybe you could take on a prayer practice and keep it to yourself for as long as you can. To stop a practice or to add one and not tell anyone. But God will keep that secret. Can you? Keeping in mind that these Lenten disciplines, even if it's just for the next few weeks, involve reflection, intentional choices, and a commitment to a better way of life in the future. A few weeks ago, a friend of mine was talking about this practice of roll it forward. Well, I'd never heard of that, but it honestly, it's really quite simple. It involves a lot of things. For instance, when you get up from a table, push your chair in. And if someone else at the table leaves without pushing their chair in, you just go over and push that one in too, without saying anything. And if you've got a cup or a glass or a plate, take it over to the counter. Throw away the water or whatever was left in your cup without saying anything. If you see a piece of trash, pick it up and throw it in the garbage without saying anything. No one needs to know that you threw away some trash. You get the idea? It's just simple things, without telling everyone what you did. It's just doing something for the person who comes after you, without calling attention to the fact that you are doing it. Keep it to yourself. Roll it forward. Maybe when using a public bathroom and washing your hands, take the paper towel and wipe off the sink. Feels good to walk up to a sink in the bathroom that looks clean, doesn't it? Do it for the next guy. You can think of all kinds of things to do, can't you? To roll it forward, as they say. When I was growing up in Southern Illinois, you knew this was coming, we didn't know about Lent. What we did know about was Palm Sunday and Good Friday and Easter Sunday. I always had a new dress for Palm Sunday and Easter, both of which my mother had made on her old Singer sewing machine. No matter what month of the year it was in, like this year, it's in March, sometimes it's in April, there were always flowers in the yard or garden, and they were already blooming. On Easter Sunday, we sometimes had a new hat, a new straw hat, and if we were lucky, a new pair of black patent leather shoes. I love to see the little girls and the boys with their shoes these days, the boots and the tennis shoes that twinkle. And anyway, on Good Friday, school closed at noon. The stores and the post office, all traditional business offices and establishments, were closed for 3 hours in the afternoon in remembrance of Christ's crucifixion on Golgotha. Then on Easter morning, first came the sunrise service at a huge cross out in the country. Where it was in Southern Illinois, it was called Ball Knob. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that. The whole town would gather there, the town's ministers taking turns at leading the service. Then a big breakfast at one of the churches. And then the Easter service with all of the trumpets and everything, all the music and flowers, and it was wonderful. And then lastly, a big Easter dinner at home where all the relatives gathered, bringing their own contribution for the dinner. And by mid-afternoon, everybody was quite exhausted and called it a day. Was it any wonder that I looked forward to Easter so much? For me, it was a great big celebration with a new dress and lots of relatives and good food. Honestly, I didn't realize what this whole event was about. For me, it was the advent of spring and summer and a wonderful festival day. But now, I know what Lent and Ash Wednesday and Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter are really all about. What are your memories of this time of year? And what do you think your children's memories are going to be? A few weeks ago, we had the opportunity to sit in Rogers Hall and eat pancakes and sausages prepared by our GF kids and their leaders. It was a grand event. You could hardly hear yourself think, and a conversation at the table was almost impossible. And wasn't it wonderful? The laughter and conversations was so lively. And the kids' squeals and laughter, I thought it was wonderful. Then when I was leaving, walking down this hallway, there were a few kids playing, waiting for their parents. And I thought to myself, these lucky kids, when they get to be teenagers and young adults, they're going to be so comfortable at church. They're not going to be afraid. They're going to love to go there. They'll feel like, this is my church home. This is where I grew up. My parents brought me here from when I was very young, maybe from when I was born. And I have such wonderful memories. Precious. It reminds me of the memories those children must have had when Jesus was sitting on a little hill telling them stories. I'll just bet that they remembered those lovely times all their lives. There's a song called Precious Memories, and it goes like this. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. You ever heard that song? On this fourth Sunday in Lent, may we remember what it's all about. It's about remembering what Christ went through on those 40 days and nights, the Last Supper with his disciples, his crucifixion, and then the miracle of resurrection just 3 days later, and what it all means for us. Studying about what we want our lives to mean for ourselves and for each other. How we are called to care for ourselves and each other. As day by day we do even the small things that might brighten another's day. And you don't have to hurry. The great Redeemer will be there 24/7, today, tomorrow, forever. There is no limit. Amen.